The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Because recent reports have been emerging from there that Israel has been carting off rubble, including possible human remains, in an effort to cover up a genocide. Joining me with the latest on this is Middle East journalist Hannah McCarthy. Hannah, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this is all about the flattening of sections of Gaza so that literally nothing remains.
Sure. So currently at the moment, about 70% of Gaza remains under the control of Israel. So again, there was supposed to be an agreement where they would slowly withdraw from Gaza and Palestinians would assume control. But again, that has not happened. And instead, what we've seen, and this is not just a recent development, this predates the war, is Israeli control over border areas. So Israel used to have a kind of a perimeter before the war started in 2023 that it policed that was already heavily militarized. And what we're seeing is an expansion of that control and basically a kind of no man's land in a place that used to house villages and homes of Palestinians. So we're seeing a mass demolition of existing infrastructure to create an environment that the Israeli authorities say is necessary for them to control Gaza and make sure a 7th of October never attacks again.
Okay. So this would be literally a flat plain where nothing grew, which would give the Israeli forces clear lines of sight to any hostile forces oncoming from within Gaza. That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
Now, how much destruction is there in terms of where people lived, where people farmed? I mean, all of this land will be of no use to anyone. It'll be simply an arid barrier.
Significant amounts have been demolished, but it's important just for people to take a step back and think about the size of Gaza. It's less than half the size of Dublin. It's smaller than the smallest county in Ireland. So it's already a tiny landmass with over 2 million people. So if you have, a third of the land becoming a no man's land, basically an area where if you step onto it, you are liable to be shot at and potentially killed. And again, one of the issues with this kind of perimeter is also it's not always clear where the kind of demarcation line falls. So there have been cases of Palestinians, waking up to see yellow concrete kind of boulders that are supposed to demark lines kind of being placed and suddenly them not knowing, when they're stepping over a line that might make them a target for Israeli forces who remain in the Gaza Strip.
So literally they could go to bed and be within, if you like, the Israeli rules and wake up the next morning to find that the bollards had been moved and now they are vulnerable.
Exactly. And again, there was agricultural communities who were essentially self-sufficient in Gaza before the war. They were able to make food for themselves. But what's happened because of how the land has been seized by Israeli forces is it's basically impossible for that kind of agricultural kind of industry to resume. It's extremely dangerous for farmers to go out to their land. And again, it all makes Palestinians in Gaza very vulnerable to any sort of shortage in food aid.
Now, many Palestinians, after all of this, remain reported missing, unaccounted for. Some of them, there it is thought, have been detained by the Israelis, and who knows when they will reemerge. Others may lie under the rubble.
Exactly. So there's Palestinians who were killed, and perhaps taking shelter in their homes, and their families know, I guess, where the bodies are. And in some cases, those buildings are in land that remains under, kind of quasi-Palestinian control. And in some cases, those buildings lie in land that is controlled by Israeli forces in Gaza. There is also unknown cases, cases where families simply do not know what has happened to their relatives. They may be in prison. They may have been killed. They simply do not know. And in some cases, the type of bombs that were used in Gaza means that there are no remains to identify. So for many families, there's a significant question mark over what actually has happened to these bodies.
What is being said about the rubble that's being removed and disposed of? I don't know where, by the Israelis, possibly at sea. I don't know what they do with the rubble of Gaza. There must be millions of tons of rubble. But buried in the rubble, amongst the rubble, there will be the remains of Palestinians. Now, we know how sensitive the Israelis are to the recovery of Israeli bodies in conflict, no matter how badly damaged they might be by bombs or whatever. They are not affording the same sort of respect to the Palestinian bodies.
You're correct. And after the 7th of October, I went to some of the kibbutzes that were attacked by Hamas, and I saw members of a religious organization going around sites and trying to look for eyelashes or any small fragment of Israeli victims. And that's the kind of care they took there. But what we're seeing in Gaza is there's an organization called Euromed Monitor who says that nearly 100 Israeli trucks are leaving the Gaza Strip with debris on a daily basis. They are taking rubble that, again, are potentially from the sites of crime scenes. We know that once the war started in October 2023, that often different branches of families gathered together in one building. So in many cases, you could have had dozens or over 100 members of the same family who were killed in one attack. And again, there is very little care being taken to how these excavations are taking place. We have had warning signs from experts who've been involved in previous conflicts in Bosnia and Yugoslavia, who have been firing warning shots about the need to preserve this type of evidence at these sites to ensure that a proper process can happen in order to identify and exhume these bodies.
Now, the Israelis claim that any charges made against the IDF for what might be called illegal killing of Palestinians are investigated by the IDF. Does anyone believe that those investigations are thorough or even real?
Of course, Israel always says that it is a democracy with its own internal procedures for investigating wrongdoing. There is significant issues with the idea of, you know, a military investigating its own behavior in a conflict zone. And there is a need, obviously, for independent investigators to go into Gaza. So far, they have been denied access, as has foreign journalists outside of very controlled military escorted visits. Again, what we've seen is the only real effort to by the IDF to investigate potential war crimes in Gaza has been linked to a foreign element. So, for example, the World Central Kitchen attack, where several foreign aid workers were killed by the IDF forces, or when there was an attack on a Red Cross paramedic ambulance, which the IDF forces initially denied until a video recorded by a paramedic who was killed was found by members of the Red Cross. So those are the kind of events that are getting some attention, while thousands of other cases of Palestinian civilians being killed are being ignored.
So the future for Gaza, it's impossible to see that this will be redeveloped or reconstructed or rehabilitated anytime soon. This is a project that could last decades, if indeed under the Board of Peace it goes ahead at all.
So both reconstruction will absolutely take decades, and if a proper identification and exhumation process is started, that will also take decades. The process in Bosnia over the Srebrenica massacre is still taking place today in terms of identifying bodies, although it must be said, most of the bodies have now been identified from the Srebrenica massacre. And again, there are processes that allow for the identification of these bodies. And again, we have to look back at the history of Europe as one full of war, where cities have still been reconstructed. That is all possible, but there has to be processes put in place in order to allow for, you know, a mortuary in Gaza to be built, so that international experts and forensic experts, who all are skilled in this type of work, can start their long work in identifying bodies and allowing Palestinians to know what happened to their relatives.
Meantime, we have a bit of an impasse about the disarming of Hamas, the departure of Israel, and on top of all of that, Trump's plans, which Israel is not going along with. So what's next?
Again, it's very hard to see again where this goes from now. We also have Israeli elections coming up, which will also understandably influence the type of rhetoric or steps that the Israeli government will want to take in advance of an Israeli electorate that has shifted very hard to the right in recent years. And again, there is not going to be a desire to, I would expect before elections, to not take a hard stance on Hamas. At the same time, there are still strikes happening in Gaza in a way that makes it harder for Hamas to justify giving up its arms. So again, we also have a Trump administration that seems to be distracted very easily. And again, after the midterm elections in November, Trump will be maybe seen as a less influential person in this conflict.
All right, Hannah, thank you very much for joining us and bringing us up to speed on what's going on in Gaza and the suffering of the Palestinian people.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.